All right, ready for this? We're going deep today.
Deep
into Jesus and the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
We've got scripture references all set. Should be pretty fascinating.
I think there will be some surprises in store for sure.
It's a huge GE topic, though, right?
Absolutely. Massive.
But we're going to pull out those little bits, those nuggets.
The insights that make you go, wait, really?
Yeah. I never thought about it that way before.
Exactly.
I think what's always struck me is how Jesus, when he talks about the kingdom,
yeah.
It's not some far-off thing.
No, not at all.
It's like right now.
It's immediate, right. He presents it as breaking into reality, the reality of the people he's talking to.
Right then and there.
Right then and there.
So we should probably look at that immediacy right off the bat.
Let's do it.
Matthew and Mark both.
At the very beginning.
Yeah, the beginning of their gospels.
They do.
They record Jesus starting his ministry.
Kicking it off on the bang.
It's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Just imagine hearing that for the first time.
You got to think about the context, right?
You absolutely have to. First century Palestine, Roman rule.
Not a peaceful time.
No, intense upheaval, political, social, everything's in turmoil.
People are desperate for a change.
Longing for liberation, yeah.
Then Jesus shows up.
And he's not talking about armies or politics.
Right. Not the kind of power they'd expect.
Not at all. A different kind of kingdom altogether.
Flipping the script.
Completely. Not about borders or who's in charge in Rome.
So it's more than just overthrow Rome. It's deeper.
Much deeper.
And that's where the whole good news thing comes in, right?
It does.
Luke 4.43.
Yep.
I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.
Not just a nice sentiment.
No.
This
no.
is radical stuff, especially back then.
For who, especially?
Well, anyone struggling, marginalized, oppressed, they're the ones hearing true good news here.
Because it changes everything about power, about who's in charge.
Undermining the whole system as they knew it.
So it's not wait for heaven someday.
It's about now.
It's about changing how you see everything, right here, right now.
That's the shift, yeah.
Which makes me think of Matthew 6.33.
Oh, a crucial one.
It is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
This isn't a to-do list.
No, not at all.
It's about a way of life. That word first, it's huge.
I always get stuck on that verse, you know?
Yep, get it.
It's so easy to get distracted. Job, money, security, whatever. We chase it.
Happens to the best of us.
But Jesus is saying real security.
It comes from somewhere else.
From aligning with this kingdom.
It's like he's giving us a new map.
New compass.
Even navigate by.
And that, I think, brings us to...
Oh, are we going there?
We have to. One of my favorite parables.
Should we do like this?
Matthew 13, the mustard seed.
Tiny seed.
Tiny, right. But then...
Huge tree providing shelter, everything.
What an image. It's like the kingdom's potential, even if you start small.
That's it. The impact is huge.
But then things get a little tricky.
Oh, how so?
Luke chapter 17.
Mm-mm. Right.
Verses 20 and 21. Jesus says...
What does he say?
The kingdom isn't coming with... like trumpets and angels.
Uh-huh, I see.
It's already here.
In our midst.
That's what he says. It's like, wake up. It's happening now.
And that's where the whole already but not yet idea comes in.
Okay, that one's always confused me.
It's a paradox, for sure. Tension between what I and what will be.
So what does it mean, really? Already but not yet. Need a picture to get it.
Hmm. All right, how about this? A symphony.
Okay, I like music.
You hear those opening notes, the first movement begins, you get a taste of what's coming.
But the whole thing, all the movements, that's still ahead.
That's it. The kingdom's like that. We experience glimpses, but the full glory, that's later.
So we're living in the first movement.
Exactly. And just like those first notes set the tone.
The kingdom now, it gives us a hint of what's coming.
Precisely.
But we're part of it now.
We're not just waiting. We're playing our part.
Contributing to the music.
That's where our role as citizens comes in.
Oh, man. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
We are. But for that, you'll have to wait for the next part of our deep dive.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Gotta keep you coming back for more.
So we're in the first movement of the symphony, experiencing glimpses of the kingdom. But the full glory is still to come.
That's the idea.
It's a beautiful way to think about it, actually.
It is, isn't it?
But it makes me think, what does that mean for us right now?
Well, it means we get to be part of something amazing, something unfolding.
We're not just sitting in the audience.
Oh, no, we're playing our instrument.
You're in the orchestra.
Exactly.
And that reminds me, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
What does it say?
It talks about believers being A kingdom of priests.
Ah, yes, a kingdom of priests.
Not just some fancy title, really.
Not at all. It's a calling, an identity.
But when I think priest, I think Old Testament sacrifices, all that.
It's different here.
So what does it mean for us then?
It's about living out the kingdom, showing it in our lives.
Like reflecting God's character.
Exactly. Bringing heaven to earth, if you will.
So it's more than just me and God. It's how that affects how I treat people.
It impacts everything. Think about it. If we're truly citizens of this kingdom,
then our life should look different.
Different, yeah.
We're like ambassadors or something.
That's a great way to put it. Ambassadors of grace, of reconciliation, of hope.
The world needs all of those, for sure.
It does.
But man, it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. The world can be a tough place.
Messy, complicated.
All of that.
So how do we do it then? How do we live this out when things are hard?
That's the question, isn't it? Love, grace, those are easy words.
But actually doing them?
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. Where do we even begin?
It starts with remembering we're not alone in this.
We have help.
We do. Think about Jesus. He didn't just talk about the kingdom.
He lived it.
He did. Challenged the status quo, spoke truth, showed incredible compassion.
Even when people hated him for it.
Even then. And he promised his followers would have that same power.
The same spirit.
To live it out, too.
So we have access to that.
We do. We need to seek God's guidance, ask for wisdom.
Especially when things are difficult.
Absolutely. We need to be willing to step out, challenge injustice, speak up for those who can't.
Man, I'm convicted even as you're saying this. It's easy to put faith in a box.
Sunday morning only.
Right. Then Monday hits, and it's back to the grind.
Work, stress, achieving, all that.
But Jesus wants more from us.
He does. It's a complete change.
Reorienting everything around the kingdom.
It's about surrender.
And transformation.
Letting those values, love, justice, compassion, letting those shape our lives.
You know that mustard seed? It's not just growing outward.
No, there's more to it.
It's growing from the inside, too.
Ah, I see what you mean.
The seed itself changes, and then it affects everything around it.
That's a powerful image.
So maybe it's not about the big flashy things.
Maybe not.
Maybe it's about the small stuff.
The everyday choices.
How we treat the cashier, the guy who cuts us off in traffic.
Those little things, they show what we really believe.
Yeah, those are the real tests.
They are. It's the in those moments, those seemingly insignificant actions.
That's where the kingdom breaks through.
Exactly. It's in the way we forgive, extend grace, stand up for what's right.
Like planting seeds.
And playing our part in the symphony. And those seeds, they can change the world.
Wow, this has been so eye-opening.
I'm glad.
It's not just some idea, the kingdom. It's something real.
It is.
And we get to be part of it, even now.
Even now.
It's about letting go of selfishness.
And embracing a whole new way of life.
But we can't ignore the reality, right? The world is still messed up.
Absolutely. The brokenness is still there.
Pain, injustice, evil, all of it.
That's the tension of the already but not yet.
So how do we reconcile that? How do we live with that tension?
That, my friend, is a question for our final part. Stay with us.
Okay, so we've got this kingdom.
This kingdom, yeah.
It's here, but it's not fully here.
Already but not yet.
But the world, man, it feels like a mess sometimes.
It does, doesn't it?
All this pain, injustice, it's hard to see how the kingdom fits in.
That tension, it's part of the deal, living in this in-between time.
It's not about pretending everything's fine.
No, not at all. We can't ignore the brokenness.
But we also can't give up on the hope.
Exactly. It's about living in that messy middle.
The messy middle.
Where faith meets reality. Yeah.
Honestly, it can feel overwhelming.
I understand that.
You see all the darkness and you wonder, what difference can I even make?
It's easy to feel small.
So small.
This is where our identity matters.
As citizens of the kingdom.
That's it. It's not about us fixing everything.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's about being part of something bigger.
A story that's already in motion.
A cosmic story, unfolding since the beginning.
So it's about trusting God's at work, even when we can't see it.
Trust is key. We're invited to participate.
To play our part.
But we're not the authors of this story.
Which means?
Surrender. Letting go of control. Trusting in God's sovereignty.
That's scary, you know.
It is, and it's freeing, too.
Freeing because the pressure's off, but scary because, wow, that's a lot of trust.
It's a journey. There will be doubts, moments of darkness.
But maybe those moments, that's when faith grows.
They refine us. We learn to rely not on ourselves, but on God.
It makes me think of those early Christians.
Facing persecution, uncertainty.
But they had so much joy, so much hope.
They understood something we're still learning.
That their true home wasn't here.
That their allegiance was to a different king.
And that gave them strength, even in the midst of suffering.
A resilience the world couldn't touch.
How do we get that kind of resilience? How do we hold on to hope when everything feels like it's falling apart?
It comes back to love.
Love.
What does love require of us? Not in some grand sense, but right now.
In this moment.
What can you control? Your thoughts, your actions, how you treat others.
Okay, so it's about choices.
Choosing love over fear. Forgiveness over bitterness.
Hope over despair. Those small things, again.
They matter. It's those everyday acts of faithfulness, letting your light shine, even when it's dark. That's how the kingdom breaks through.
Proof that the darkness hasn't won.
The symphony's still playing.
And the best is yet to come. Wow, this whole deep dive, it's really shifted something for me.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's not about escaping the world. It's about engaging with it.
Engaging differently.
With the love, the grace, the justice of the kingdom.
Living in that messy middle, holding the tension.
And trusting God's working it all out.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It really is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
May your hearts be filled with the wonder and the joy of the kingdom.